still want you.
Hello, brother. I'm Grace.
Hello, brother. I'm Stephanie.
And this is Doppelgangers. Today, we're talking about season 7, episode 20 of The Vampire Diaries, which is called Kill 'Em All.
Which they don't.
This is goofy. I mean, there's a lot here that it's like, we're rushing through this storyline, and I would complain if I didn't think it was a dud storyline that we should rush through.
The thing is, I think we're going into as much detail as I think is necessary, because I'm still having fun with it. Look, obviously, I heard what I heard last time, and I said, Yvette's dead. Now, in some past times, they would have made us wait 3 episodes for that reveal.
Well, what's tough here is that I think what's interesting in this episode, and what's interesting in this section, is the vault. And now we're going to go back to a Hunter storyline. We're moving to that. Or at least that's what is implied at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
It's like, let me figure out what's in the vault.
Yeah. Because right now it just seems to be a presence.
Yeah. Kind of a vibe.
It's kind of like, ooh, it makes me a hater if I stand in here too long.
Yeah, exactly. Which, Mama, that happens to me when I watch too much Vanderpump Rules, okay?
Yeah.
I don't need a vault for that.
Yeah.
Silly, silly week. I will start, as always, by reading the synopsis from Vampire Diaries Wiki. With Bonnie's life at stake and an uphill battle ahead of them, Damon and Enzo lead the charge to save Bonnie before her condition worsens. Too late. Stefan reluctantly teams up with Matt for the sake of Bonnie and uncovers the truth behind Matt's anger towards him. Elsewhere, determined to help her best friend, Caroline joins Alaric on a mission and quickly realizes how much she's missed her former supernatural lifestyle. I don't know that that's the realization she comes to. Finally, after their plan takes an unexpected turn, Damon makes a fateful decision that will forever change his relationship with Bonnie.
I mean, relationships change all the time.
Yeah, I think we'll be okay.
I think she'll survive. I think she's got her own thing to deal with right now.
We open the episode in the bathroom of a hospital, presumably the psych ward that she was staying at. Bonnie washes her face and she's looking at the scabs on her hand, and she now has scabs on her shoulder. And so it's starting to get quite real for her. So she does cry, but she like pulls it together before she goes outside. Mm-hmm. She goes to the front desk and says, "Hey, I'm here to see a patient, Virginia St. John." And the nurse says, "Oh, what's your relationship to the patient?" And Bonnie says, "She tried to kill me." And then they let her see Virginia.
They do have like a wall between her, but like that can't be healthy for Virginia.
Yeah, I feel like the nurse would be like, "Oh, no, you can't talk to her."
I was like, "Oh, maybe Enzo like compelled to be like, this is a nurse," or that's like, "Oh, I was a patient here. I like want him. I'm on her visitor list," or whatever. But no, no lies.
Or like maybe Virginia could have like initiated this meeting because she's like, "I want to tell you what's in the vault." But no, Bonnie just walks in.
But, you know, if we've learned anything about this mental hospital, it's that the security is not up to par with literally anything. It's actually crazy Virginia's still here.
It is shoddily run at best. Yeah. I mean, this place makes Radley Sanitarium look good. A pretty little liar's joke, yeah. As you've all come to expect. We go to some room where there's like glass between them. So it's like a prison visitor's room, but it's in a hospital. They're like, "Don't look too closely at it."
Basically like a bank teller section.
Like, yeah, exactly.
There's not like bars. It's like plexiglass and chairs, but it doesn't look like you couldn't break through it if you wanted to.
Yeah, it's because of the time jump. It's a COVID precaution. They predicted COVID. Just kidding, of course.
Just kidding, because there's a bunch of holes in it. Yeah. So that wouldn't have been really well done.
It was early COVID. It's March.
Yeah, it's St. Patrick's Day 2020.
If I know one thing, it's St. Patrick's Day. I actually think I'm going to look up when these episodes aired to see when 3 years from now would have been. 3 years from now would have been 2018. End of 2018, beginning of 2019. Pre-COVID. So Bonnie says, "Hey, Virginia, so I don't have a ton of time and I need some answers. Your sister Alex is hell-bent on having me open that vault. I need to know what's in it." And Virginia, you could have saved yourself a lot of time if you just told her this last week, but now you're in solitary confinement. So what'd you get?
Virginia's like, "Wait, didn't you ask me this last week? Did I not tell you?
Did I not mention?" Well, also, to be fair, Virginia doesn't really appear to know, because she says, "That's the question everyone's been asking since 1882, when my great-grandfather first managed to open it." I will say, so we go to 1882. Let's also remember, Enzo famously became a vampire in 1901, and he said at the time he was 27. So this is 19 years before Enzo became a vampire. So Enzo's in the workhouse at this point, human Enzo, because he would have been six.
Okay, yeah, so he's out. So I guess we have to assume this is Enzo's dad.
Yes, because it's their great-grandfather. So we can assume it's Enzo's dad. So Enzo's 2 years into his stint at the workhouse when this happened, for those keeping score at home.
So Dalton didn't get very far without his son, it appears.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, this is a question I have. So we know the vault was open in 1882, and then we know it got sealed 4 years ago. So was it open that whole time?
We can assume, yes, that it was like you could go in, but no one did.
Okay.
For some reason, it seems like whatever the vibe is in there that it didn't come out.
So it can't get out. Yeah.
Well, we don't know that it can't get out, but it seems like either it never has or it's never made like a lot of waves when it has.
Yeah.
But it's only been officially sealed for 4 years.
Okay. Just interesting.
It is interesting. Maybe the armory was like regularly having people go in to try to figure it out. And so maybe those were like, it was like a sacrifice, but we don't really know.
Yeah. I was just curious because we're left this week with it being very, like a very nebulous thing. And so I'm just trying to figure out if I'm meant to think it's more concrete than that. I'm not sure.
For the sake of argument and having fun guesses, let's say it is meant to be more concrete.
Okay.
Let's say it's not just an aura. Because what can you guess about an aura?
That's true. Well, that's just because the question is, of course, why would it not leave the vault? And maybe it can't get through a closed door. Like maybe they can lock it in.
Yeah.
But this still leaves the option that it is openable by someone, and the seal just makes it so no one can open it.
Or perhaps we could consider the fact that, I mean, we'll go into describe what happens here in a second, but we could make the argument that it needs a human host.
I was going to say it could be an It Follows situation, a Truth or Dare situation.
Or I was actually just watching Supernatural, and there's an episode, spoilers for like episode 4 of Supernatural, I just started. There's an episode where essentially there's like a demon and it travels like a mist and it's kind of Final Destination-y, but it like possesses people, but it's a mist.
Yeah.
So we can assume that it might need a human host. Maybe that's what happens with our friend Dalton. I'll explain what happens with Dalton. So we go to 1882. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of people going into this, what we know to be the vault. It's like a cave once you go through this door. They're going in with lanterns. Inside, there's a woman's voice and she whispers, "Dalton." And Dalton, we can assume is, you know, Dalton St. John, presumably Enzo's father.
And this woman's voice, I'm like, uh-huh. Yeah, I bet that's Yvette, quote unquote, too.
Yeah, you were.
Come on.
You've been an Yvette is dead truther ever since you heard the name Yvette. And you were right.
And this whole episode, I only got more ingrained into it. So I was like, if Yvette walks out, like, that's going to be embarrassing. But like, there's no way.
Dalton says, "Oh, who's there?" And the lady just says, "Dalton."
They said, "Don't worry about that."
She said, "Don't ask." He said, "Oh, show yourself." The lanterns go out and Dalton screams.
So she said, "There you go."
So then back in the hospital in the current day, Bonnie says, "Okay, so what is in there?"
Yeah, Bonnie's like, doesn't sound like anything.
That story didn't tell me much. Virginia says, "Well, it's not a what, it's not a who, it's what it does to you," which leads us to think it's more like of a entity, not so concrete.
Yeah.
In 1882, everybody gets out of the vault and Dalton says, "I'm fine, I'm quite all right." And everyone's like, "Woohoo, that was a fun trip."
Everyone's like, "Great, nice and easy. Just got a little fresh breeze in the vault and let's go have a drink."
But then as soon as everyone turns away from Dalton, he has like an evil look on his face. And it's like, okay.
Vaulting with Dalton.
Virginia narrates, you know, it strips away your compassion. It takes away your empathy, your capacity for love, eating away at your soul until all that remains is darkness.
I'm sure that entity stayed hungry as hell after Dalton because it's like, you already abandoned your son.
Yeah.
There's no food here. What compassion can I eat?
I got nothing. That's why they made him kill all these people.
Yeah.
So we see Dalton like whistling. He's whistling "Pop Goes the Weasel," whatever. And he's cleaning off a knife. And then he puts it like on display because it's the armory. And then we see him walking through a room of hanging corpses. We're meant to believe he killed all those people. Mm-hmm. And we're meant to believe it's because he went in that vault.
Yeah.
At the hospital, Virginia says, "You know, my great-grandfather was only in there a few moments. My sister Yvette has been trapped in there for 4 years. I can't imagine what she's been twisted into in that time."
And I said, "Oh, Virginia, that's not really the concern."
Yeah, I can tell you what she's been twisted into. A corpse.
Yeah. Even Bonnie's like, "Girl."
Yeah, Bonnie says, "Well, no one can survive 4 years sealed in a vault." So jot that down, which is exactly what Enzo said. Soulmates.
Bonnie's like, have you considered that?
Virginia says, well, I said the same thing, except the thing is, Alex can hear her through the walls crying to her for help. And famously, no one has ever been able to mimic voices. So it's got to be her.
Oh, and I'm an evil entity. I want out. I think I said this last week. I'm not going to be through the walls saying, hey, it's me, the evil entity in the vault.
Can I come out, please?
Come on.
To me, if I'm Alex, I think, okay, there's no way she's alive 4 years later. Let me ask something only Yvette would know. I wouldn't just say, Yvette, is that you? And the entity says, right, yep, Yvette.
Or even, hey, Yvette, how are you still alive? And the entity says, you know.
The entity says, I don't know, but I'm weak.
My sister.
If you're an evil entity in this case, like, the only way to attack this is to basically be like, I'm going to be as vague as fucking possible.
Yeah.
And obviously it worked.
I think I could trick someone into that as an evil entity. Like,
yeah, if I have any voice available at my disposal.
Plus, you've all, like, first of all, your sister just walked into the vault.
That's on Yvette.
She gave that to me. And you're out here crying about how you miss your sister. I'm an evil entity. I can hear that. But for some reason, I can't get out of this cave in any other way. But whatever. You're giving me a lot of information.
Yeah. Virginia says, whatever is inside that vault, it wants out. And you have to promise me you won't let Alex set it free. And this time, Bonnie does promise. Now, she does lie because she does it later. But she didn't know.
It's like, what do you want me to do? Like, I can only control so much here.
And it is, I mean, you're right to raise the question of, like, the vault was essentially not sealed for 100 and something years and nothing happened.
I think we just have to assume, like, if it's not sealed, like, someone could open it from the outside. And so you just don't want people to have the choice to open it.
Yeah.
Because if you're, you know, having a bad day, maybe you go in and you're like, let's take away all my bad feelings. Same reason you turn your humanity off.
It's the human version of turning off a humanity switch.
Yeah, the humanity vault.
So the entity is like humanity.
Ooh. No, the entity is feeding on humanity.
Yeah.
Which humanity. Is humanity itself.
Wow. We'll see.
Or it's just a dude.
or it's Enzo's dad.
I just say.
Could be either one. Still too close to call.
I do love. We have, like, single villains, and then we got group villains. And now we just have, and it's something. You guys, whatever you think is the coolest version, could you just plop that in there for us? We're not writing it.
While we're on vault conversation, do you think it is an entity, or do you think it is a creature? Or do you think there's some middle ground? Like, does this give you any other ideas about what's in that vault?
You know, I do like the demon idea. Like, I don't think it's a physical entity. Like, maybe it is a parasite of sorts.
Sure.
I'm envisioning, you know, the Truth or Dare movies where they have the weird smile.
No, I know it.
Like, that kind of thing. But how, if I were that demon or entity or whatever, like, those ones in other horror movies have figured out how to, like, jump between groups or be, you know, successful. This one seems to remain in the vault. And then once it gets out, everyone dies and that's the end of it.
Yeah, it's unclear what happened to it once it appears to have overtaken Dalton.
Which, like, maybe as an entity, it's not, like, one soul. Like, maybe it overtakes Dalton and it's still in there and it could just overtake other souls. Oh. But why would it? You would think as an entity, you know, I'm going the demon route.
Yeah.
The goal, think of, like, what is it? Insidious.
Or, like, Evil Dead. I'm thinking of Evil Dead Rise, specifically the new one.
Yeah. Like, you want to keep jumping to new areas and keep, like, your entity flowing through humanity in some way or another. So once you kill everyone.
Yeah, if someone finds you in one entity, you want to be able to, in one human body, they could kill that. And then you want to get somewhere else before they.
Well, yeah. And if, like, if Dalton dies, where does that entity go? Does it, like Scooby-Doo, like one of the Hellstone souls? Does it just head on back to the vault and regroup until someone opens it again? Like, maybe it is a factor of this entity that you have to seek it out. And it's like a commentary on humanity that, like, you seek out evil, whatever.
Well, here's a question that made me think. Do you think the armory was built around this entity? Or do you think they captured this entity and put it in the armory?
That's a good question.
Isn't it? I just thought of it.
So that makes me think that there's not really an answer. Because how do you capture this entity?
Oh, I don't know. That's a question. That's maybe what I'm asking you.
Maybe it's a hell, because they're in a mountain.
You think it's connected to hell?
I think if we're finding a corollary to something, it's demon. I think Evil Dead Rise is a good thing to raise. Maybe it's even like a cabin in the woods situation, where it's a bunch of random options that can come up whenever it's time.
Sure. So short answer, yes, no. Do you think it's connected to hell?
No.
Okay.
No. Because we already built this hell realm and destroyed it.
The other side.
No, the Phoenix Stone is what I'm referring to.
Fair enough.
The other side wasn't hell.
Well, I know. That's why I was confused. Pull I was like, together. Why the other side hell? It's like, it was pretty much, it was kind of calm. It was kind of calm.
We have to call the corollary to hell because it's in a cave, in a mountain. I mean, it's very as above, so below. This is like a horror movie week. I'm just pulling any ideas out. And even in As Above, So Below, there wasn't like one devil.
Yeah.
It was like an entity that made you see things that you did wrong and you either learned from it or you didn't. Like you either admitted your wrongdoing or didn't.
Plus, I stand by this in all culture. I feel like introducing one devil sets you up for failure because you have to have someone who is scary, evil, and like you can't really have any complexities there. And that doesn't benefit this show and it doesn't really benefit storytelling.
I think it's too late for them to do this in a good way. But I've drawn some comparisons to As Above, So Below in this season before with the Phoenix Stone, with whatever. And so I think there are some potential like ways to go with that. I don't think that's what they're doing, but that's what it evokes, which good for them that they evoked that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that was purposeful. And I mean that as a read.
Yes. And I don't mean that as a compliment. We go out to a parking lot in Frankford, Delaware, apparently. Damon is fighting a vampire and then he pulls out his heart and decapitates him. And Enzo's like, okay, you know, Reyna's list is too long to kill each one twice.
Enzo's like, that's not really worth our energy.
Damon says, okay, let's get moving. Enzo burns the bodies. And then Damon gets a call from Stefan and Damon says, hey, how's it going? And Stefan says, I finish off the ones in Huntsville and Birmingham. And Damon says, awesome, overachiever. You know, is somebody taking out their aggression because Blondie left them on the front porch? And Stefan says, okay, well, you're the authority on being hated. Why don't you tell me how to deal with this situation? Turned it on him.
Gagged him a bit.
Damon says, so you're still mad, huh? And Stefan says, well, number one, it's been 2 days, so yes. But number two, I'm not mad, I'm just tired. Who's next on my hit list? Damon says, oh, it's some bloodsucker from the Age of Enlightenment. He ended up in an MMA fighter. I know that vampire cheered when he figured that out.
Yeah, he said, damn, I'm strong as hell.
He said, what's MMA? But also, I'm a monster.
They said, oh, you have to go to your MMA fight. And he's like, oh, I don't know what that is, but fight sounds good. And then he's like, oh, there's no fucking rules here.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Damon says that this vampire is dropping bodies all through the Palmetto State, which is South Carolina. We find out later if you don't know state mottos.
I knew it was.
Okay. Stefan says, that doesn't sound very enlightened. Ha ha ha. Too easy. It was T-ball. He had to say it.
Yeah.
Damon says, yeah, that's why I'm partnering you up with Donovan. And Stefan says, Matt, no, he wants me dead. He released Reyna to try to kill me. Like, I don't think we're a good pair.
This is like, Stefan knows that Matt wants him dead, but he doesn't seem to be like, and it's fair he does. So he kind of, so it's a little bit like, does he know what Matt's mad about?
Because before this episode, you were pretty sure that Stefan had killed Penny.
Yeah. And I thought it was her fault.
So now you're like, what? Does Stefan not seem to remember that he killed Penny?
I was like, maybe he doesn't know. Or maybe he thinks that he was justified or whatever.
Maybe he doesn't know who Penny is.
Yeah. Like maybe he didn't realize he killed Matt's girlfriend. But I knew it wasn't Stefan's fault. And I was right on that.
Yeah, that's true. Damon says, yeah, that's a bit extreme, even for Donovan. And Stefan says, yeah, it's a long story. And Damon says, well, I don't have time for a short story, Stefan. You two figure out your differences while killing this MMA fighter. And Stefan says, well, I guess I don't have much of a choice, do I? And Damon says, Stefan, in answering your question about how to deal with being hated, three little words, just don't care. And Stefan says, yeah, that's really funny coming from a guy working so hard to save his friend's life. And Damon says, I can live with Bonnie hating me as long as she lives. I gotta go. This is an interesting parallel to me because he said the same thing at the end of season two when he gave Elena vampire blood before the sacrifice because he's like, I'm okay if she hates me as long as she lives. And so I feel compelled to mention that Julie Plec appears to be setting up a Damon and Bonnie couple here. There's just no other reason to draw a parallel to Elena.
Well, and also because, like, we know that Bonnie's going to be fine because we know Nina Dobrev's not coming back.
Yes.
So there's really no point in bringing up that conversation Like, I don't want to say Damon would be like, well, if Bonnie dies, Elena comes back. So it might work out. Like, that's not really the vibe we're setting up. But he doesn't bring that up at all.
Yes. It is weird that he doesn't even address that, because I feel like he should. I feel like maybe even Enzo should be like, why are you trying so hard to save Bonnie? Like, if she dies, Elena comes back. You don't have to suffer like this anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, if we're going to have Bonnie this close to death, we need to comment on that, because we all know she can't die, because we know that you can't get Nina Dobrev back.
And I think they maybe kept it near the end of the season to be like, ooh, maybe Nina signed another contract. She watched the season. We're not under any false presumptions that she watched this and said, get me back on there.
She said, ooh, it's finally going up.
It is a little like Damon and Bonnie coded.
They're setting it up in a way, like, and listen, teen dramas, they're going to set up everybody with everybody just to see what sticks. But they're really laying it on thick with Damon and Bonnie, because the way Bonnie feels about Damon post-time jump is very similar to the way Caroline feels about Stefan. And we all see the writing on the wall there. So it just feels weird that Julie Pluck is setting it up so much.
Because she already gave Bonnie a boyfriend. So she clearly doesn't want this to be a thing, but they're still doing these parallels. Maybe someone in the writer's room had some ideas that Julie didn't catch on to.
Well, and I think I get why they don't do this. And I get why, like, what they end up leaning into here is the brother relationship. But I do think there might have been something to be said for setting up a new love triangle. And I think a love triangle between Damon and Enzo and Bonnie, super interesting love triangle. I just feel like, because Julie Pluck is Kat Graham's number one hater, she sold the show short sometimes.
Yeah, she didn't want her to be too central. Also because we know Julie Pluck was fucking being a Stelena bitch in the back.
Yes. We know that Julie Pluck was hoping Elena would stay so she could swap Elena back over to with Stefan. So, and where does that leave Caroline? Fuck you.
Yeah. So you might as well match up Damon and Bonnie and be like, Nina, please come back and do Stelena. And Nina would be like, what the fuck? No.
I say this only because I know there's one specific line, I don't remember when it is, where, like, you can tell Julie Pluck is like, I need to shut these Damon and Bonnie shippers up. And so, but she's like encouraging them. I'm sorry, but to have him treat Bonnie the way he treated Elena, it's like you're telling us they're going to date.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not like the number one Damon Bonnie shipper, but I do think it's an interesting parallel, even if we set up a love triangle and then Bonnie picks Enzo over Damon.
Yeah.
I don't think it makes any sense for Damon to not have feelings for Bonnie.
Yeah, because I think it makes sense for Bonnie to be like, no, we're close friends. Like, we just are very close and you're clinging to someone because Elena's not here, whatever. Because that's what's happening.
Yes.
Like, it wouldn't be weird for that conversation to come up, like, because you're already pushing that.
But I also do feel like Damon is the type of guy who would be like, I was evil till Elena saved me. And then I had no hope when she died. And then Bonnie saved me, you know, like.
Well, and no offense to Damon, but he's kind of like a baby duck. He's going to imprint on, like, whatever girl's being nice to him at the time.
Literally.
No shade to him. Would love to have a little baby duck imprint on me in that way, if it's Damon. But, you know, like, it's true to his character that he would be like, this girl cares about me.
I'm in love.
I'm in love with her. And Bonnie would be like, girl, be serious.
And specifically, you know, they had Elena say, like, live your life. And also, we know that Bonnie is going to die when Elena, you know, when Bonnie dies, Elena comes back. They're not going to overlap, as far as we know. So what a perfect girlfriend to have. Well, your girlfriend's down is the one that, like, when she dies, you get another girlfriend back. No interruption of service.
Yeah, and then Elena's like, great, you and Bonnie had a happy life, and now we're in love again. Like, everybody gets to be in love. Love Bonnie, love you. Love being alive again. Sick.
Life rocks.
That worked out pretty well. I thought you were going to lose it, and from the journals I read, you were for a bit there. So thank God for Bonnie.
Yeah. Matt pulls up to Stefan and says, I'm driving. And Stefan says, yeah, okay.
Stefan says, fine.
We go to Dallas. Rick is looking through a box of toys. And Caroline says, if you're looking for the crossbow bolts, I moved them in with the Halloween decorations about the same time I relocated your shotgun from the kitchen. And Rick says, thank you.
Because, of course, she's organizing.
Caroline says, steak guns and vervain grenades are in the minivan. I called Leah over to watch the girls. They're going to make puppets and put on a show and have the time of their lives. And Rick says, no, you can't go. It's too dangerous. And Caroline says, more for you than me. I'm the immortal one, bitch.
She says, I'm not a human.
Rick says it would be irresponsible if we both went. And Caroline says, okay, then you can stay here. Because I can't read if you give a moose a muffin for the millionth time when I know my best friend is in trouble.
She's like, sorry, I care about Bonnie more than you do. So if only one of us is going, it's going to be me.
And that's fair. We go to the cabin. Raina is sitting at the fireplace burning papers. She says, goodbye, Desmond. And Bonnie comes in. And she's like, oh, I see the crazy train has moved topside. Hey, are you wearing my shirt? Raina says, well, I'm giving you my life. I figured it qualified me for an upgrade from the storm cellar.
Well, she knows there's a catch to this.
Yeah. Which, you know what? Fair enough. And we'll talk about the catch when we get there. But it's like, did you really think Raina was just going to give you something that didn't benefit her at all?
Yeah.
Bonnie says, you know, personally, I would have negotiated for the penthouse suite in Paris, dinner at the best restaurant in town where I would have ordered one of everything and had the most expensive bottle of wine and champagne. And Raina's like, I didn't have any leverage to negotiate with, bitch. They said they're going to kill me either way.
Yeah, she said this was kind of the better side of the deal.
Raina says, when all the names are in the fire, you'll have a whole lifetime to do all of it. Bonnie says, I guess I just don't understand what you're getting out of this. I mean, not to sound ungrateful, but you're willing to die for me. It doesn't make any sense. And this is also a weird conversation that we're having. And I know it's setting up later that, like, she actually does gain something from this. But we had this same conversation last week. Like, it doesn't really matter if Raina's willing to do it.
Yeah.
Damon's going to kill her regardless of if she does it. So she kind of has to. She didn't choose to.
And it is believable enough that, like, her life was kind of ass. Like, it's time to go.
And she could not get all these vampires dead in time. So, like, having them kill all her vampires, at least it makes her, like, not totally a waste of 8 lives.
Yeah.
Raina says, you haven't lived 7 lifetimes beyond your own. At most, Raina, you've lived 3. Like, I'm sorry.
A lot of them were throwaways, okay?
Yeah. Raina says, that's what I never understood about vampires. They seek out immortality like it's some kind of gift. Everything that mattered to me, love, family, happiness, I had all of that the first time until it was taken away from me. And I've spent the last 7 lifetimes longing for it.
I love her. Like, the worst thing about vampires is that they want immortality. That's your biggest issue?
I mean, it's funny. Funny, maybe is not the word. But it's like, it was all taken away from me because you snitched on your own dad.
Sorry, I know that you couldn't have really known where that was going, but, like, your dad had it well in hand.
Raina says, I'm ready to be done on this earth. I want to see my father again. I want to know love again. That's what I get out of it. Peace.
Raina, big assumption that you're going to peace.
I mean, it must suck to be Raina because she had to kill her dad. And then her love of her life, who we know nothing about, got turned by Ambrose.
Yeah.
And now she lives and has no friends. We went through this with Jeremy, too. A lot of hunters, they do make killing vampires their entire life. But from what we've seen, that's not something you can't outthink.
I said it during the episode, like, it's a skill issue.
And I know this is, like, a different type of hunter than the 5, but
not really.
Yeah, so I we'll get into that later. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But it is like, you know, Raina, the lack of love in your life, you can blame vampires for it, but you have to kind of own up to your part in it a little bit.
Yeah, and especially because, look, I know you're a mystical hunter. You have this magical sword that guides you.
Sure.
That sword and the stone were missing for like 100 years. That's at least one of your lifetimes. And after the lifetime when you fell in love, because Ambrose was from the 1880s.
Yes.
So you lost your sword in 1903 and then didn't have it for another 100 years. And you killed a checkout girl. Like, you had time to find love or do something else.
I don't want to discount Raina's hard life. They just had a hard time figuring out totally what to do with Raina.
I think they just wanted a bigger hunter, but they, like, can only do so many different types of hunters. So they tied it to the 5, which I think does make sense.
Yes.
But unfortunately, like, we've gotten out of that situation before.
Well, and I think the problem is the way they made her higher stakes hunter is by making her merc linked to her death, so she's harder to kill. But now no one's merc'd, so it really doesn't make sense why they don't just kill her. And I understand they want to use Bonnie's life. They want to save Bonnie's life by using her life, but it just feels, it's getting a little silly.
Yeah. It feels like there had to be, like, a better antidote way or, like, again, siphoning. I know, like, most of the siphons are gone, but go to fucking Joe and Lizzie or whoever. Josette,
I know.
Lizzie.
I was going to say, we do have 2 siphons.
Like, even without Valerie, we have 2. And, like, it's not going to bother them. They'll just, like, hug their Aunt Bonnie and bada bing, bada boom, you're safe.
Yeah, it's unclear exactly why we aren't trying siphoning more. Well, I mean, it is clear. It's because the writers are like, we have to stop doing siphoning all the time, because or else it's a solution for everything.
Because, and I get why they, like, they could talk the way out of it. Like, oh, these pills stop magic, so you can't siphon them out because they're not magic. But it's like, they have to be magic if they're masking magic. It's a little too, so you get kind of in a hole with it pretty quick.
Yeah. The fire in the fireplace has started to, like, move out of the fireplace. So Bonnie says, Modus, to put the fire out. And Raina says, oh, hey, your magic is back. And Bonnie says, uh-oh, that means the pills are out of my system, which means the armory is not far behind.
Yeah, if they happen to be doing the locator spell at this very moment, sure.
Giving the armory a lot of credit. Yeah, we, as far as we know, they had two witches, and they were Nora and Mary Louise. So yeah. I think we're okay, but whatever. We got to Matt's car. Matt says, okay, with no traffic, we should be in Spartanburg in under 2 hours. And it's pretty silent. And Stefan says, well, do you want me to, you know, find a decent radio station to cover the silence? Or, you know, we could talk about your vendetta against me. Like, seriously, man, what's going on? Let's get it all out. I mean, you blackmailed us into leaving our home. And this is interesting because it's like, why do you want to talk about the vendetta if you killed Penny? As we're under the assumption he did.
I guess in his mind, like, the compulsion stuck. So he's like, you know, why is he still mad when he shouldn't have anything to be mad about, as far as I understand it?
Yeah. Matt says, yeah, like, blackmailing you was the second best decision I ever made. And Stefan says, do I even want to know what the first is? Matt doesn't say anything, but we go back to 2 years ago. Oh, brother, another flashback.
Back to St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day 2 years ago. It's Matt's apartment. Matt's on his computer. Penny says, what are you looking at? And he says nothing and really quickly closes his computer.
Pull it together.
Come on, man.
Have a decoy window.
Literally. First time snooping? And I know it's not. I've seen you snoop. Penny says, baseball score nothing or porn nothing? That was a pretty sketchy quick close. How much is he looking at porn?
Well, yeah, is he looking at baseball scores and porn the same amount? Like, that's weird.
It is weird. And Matt says it's not important. And Penny says, well, I was kidding, but now I'm kind of intrigued. Come on, show me.
What a cop.
Penny says, is it, like, weird and freaky? What if he was looking at weird and freaky porn?
Yeah, let's not make fun of people's preferences, okay, girl?
And also, I don't really want to know.
Yeah.
Penny says, I think we've reached the point where we can be open and honest about our browser histories. Let's see what kind of freaky stuff you're into. Ha ha ha. She opens the computer. And Matt is reading what we can only assume is, like, a listicle from some website that's definitely giving his computer spam. That's called, yeah, Top 10 Ways to Propose to Her. What do you mean, top 10 ways?
So she starts to grab it, like, oh, he's looking at engagement rings. Like, that's going to be the bit. What do you mean, top 10 ways to propose? You ask a question.
There's literally one way. I get the idea of, like, oh, you could do it at, like, Disneyland. Or
like a restaurant or whatever.
But it's like, why are you reading an article? They're all going to tell you the same thing. Go to this location and say, will you marry me?
Like, go to a special location in your relationship. Did you need to Google something to tell you that?
Yeah.
Dumb. Especially because he already has a ring. Like, you got over the biggest hump.
If I found my boyfriend Googling top 10 ways to propose, I'd be like, are you a fucking idiot?
Could you not come up with, like, anything on your own?
Top 10 ways to propose? And then I'm going to judge which one he picked. Did he pick number 9?
Yeah. And what is number 1 on that list?
I'm sure number 1 is, like, simple. Just do it at home.
It was on, like, that website, The Odyssey.
Yeah, literally. Number 1, beach. Number 2, restaurant. Number 3, home. It's like, come on.
Number 4, police station.
They're like, this one is best for cops.
I wouldn't be surprised if he says top 10 best ways to propose to cop.
Matt says, pretty sure this isn't gonna make the list. Yeah, her thinking you were looking at porn. Great.
Yeah.
Penny says yes, and Matt says, well, I didn't even ask you.
He said, pump the brakes, bitch.
Says, I said yes, and he says, okay, I guess the only surprise is to see if I got the size right. He has a ring. The band is crazy thick for the size of the stone.
Matt, based off what you were just Googling, the odds of you getting the size right are not looking great. I don't have a high degree of confidence in you right now.
Matt says, are you rethinking your yes? And Penny says, first, it's a total home run. If you're trying to impress me, it worked. Second, you don't need to impress me. And I know you can't afford this on a deputy's salary. Matt says, how about on a sergeant's salary? And Penny says, oh, you got the promotion. Number 1, from who works at the cop station? And number two, after a year of being a cop, you're being promoted to sergeant?
Well, and look, if I was the one cop in the deserted town, and then we open the town up and we bring people in, and they were like, hey, dude, like, thanks for watching over the town. What's your role? Because apparently no other cops remain from the previous group. Yeah. So I'd be like, oh, you know, I was like, I wouldn't go crazy with it. I look young. I'd say, yeah, I was a sergeant. That's why I stayed behind. So I would be bumping up to lieutenant or something. I don't know if that's above sergeant.
I don't know how cops work.
And I don't care to learn.
Matt says it's not official yet, but the mayor tipped me off. Who the fuck is the mayor? We haven't had a mayor since season 5.
Who even knows where they found a mayor? Maybe it had been, the town had been empty enough that people forgot that the last like 4 mayors have all been killed in assorted ways.
So someone's like, ooh, mayor job's open.
Someone's like, oh, wow. And there's like no requirements. Like it's basically an entry level job. This is great.
I'm definitely running unopposed. There's another thing that's so frustrating about the time jump to me is we're getting flashbacks for every which what thing, but we're not going to find out how the town got reopened.
We're just like, it did.
That was a major plot point of this season, was that everybody had to evacuate. And now all of a sudden it's like, no, everyone's back now. And that's the thing you should use a time jump for, is to cover that shit up, to cover like up some things, but we're not covering anything else up.
Yeah. And even to go back, I've said this like every week, but the time jump is 3 years, but then we go to a flashback that's like 2 years ago. And it's like, again, that was maybe 6 months from what we were watching.
Yeah, it's just bad. I mean, yeah, we're beating up the time jump every week. And you know what? Yeah. We're right to. Let me just say, Julie Plec, your number one mistake was showing me that calendar last week.
She said, don't I know it?
She said, yeah, bitch, I listened to your last episode. We get it. It's near St. Patrick's Day. Anyway, Matt says, Sergeant Donovan got a nice ring to it, right? And he puts the ring on her and she says, so does Mrs. Sergeant Donovan. Ha ha ha. They kiss. He ain't got the promotion yet.
He doesn't have it. And you don't get promoted just because he did.
We go back to Matt's car today. And Matt says, you know, when I got home from the funeral, our wedding invitations were sitting on the doorstep. And Stefan says, sorry, like take it up with USPS.
Damn, that sucks. But I didn't do that.
Yeah. Matt says, yeah, everybody's sorry. And Stefan says, I heard it was a car accident. I heard it because it was my idea for my compulsion.
He's like, you seem pretty pissed, so I'm going to, you know, just check how that story went down, because it seems like bad.
Because you seem mad at me, and I specifically told you to forget I was there, so something's up. Matt says, yeah, she lost control of her truck, hit a tree. That's the official story anyway. And Seven's like, oh, brother, here we go.
Seven's like, oh, okay. I guess this is what happens when you kill his sister.
Matt says, you and I both know that's not what really happened. Seven said, huh?
Me? Stefan said, how would I know anything?
I wasn't there.
You kicked me out of town, remember?
We go to wherever Damon and Enzo are, I think Pennsylvania. And they're by like a bloodmobile, which has been, you know, hijacked by vampires. Good move by the vampires.
Yeah, fair enough.
And Damon kills a guy and then answers the phone and says, oh, hey, Bonnie, how's your field trip to the nut house? And Bonnie says, where's Enzo? He's not answering his phone. Damon says, oh, Enzo's chasing down a blood enthusiast. What's wrong? And Bonnie says, well, my magic's back, so the armory is one locator spell away from finding me. Again, we don't know that they have a witch, and we don't really know how often they do locator spells, so I wouldn't panic.
Yeah, it's been 3 years. They're probably not doing them daily still.
Damon says, they don't know that. And Bonnie says, we don't know they don't know that. And Damon says, look, we're moving on the list, okay? If dropping bodies was an Olympic sport, we'd be on a Wheaties box. You should be used to this by now, right? You've died like 3 times already.
Yeah, he's like, he can't be that serious to you.
She like puts the phone down to have a moment and he says, Bonnie, and she says, yeah, I'm here. I just want to say thank you. And Damon says, okay, you're welcome. And Bonnie says, I still think it was wrong for you to abandon us, but I forgive you. That was fast.
Yeah, it's like, damn, so you really think you're going to die, huh?
Damon says, nope, you're not allowed to use the F word. You don't mean it. You're only saying you forgive me because you don't think we're going to pull this off. And yeah, it's going to be tight, but we're going to make it. You're going to make it so I don't accept your forgiveness, okay? You understand? You're going to have to stay strong. And Bonnie says, okay, I will. And then she hangs up and turns to Raina and says, you ready? And Raina is pulling some blood out and says, this is just going to make you sicker. And Bonnie says, yeah, I'm not going to let them use me to open that vault.
It might be better to use your magic to, I don't know, seal the door on this cabin so they can't get in.
Yeah. Raina says, this will only hide your magic for 24 hours. What about after it wears off? Number one, 24 hours, another damn timer. Enough with the timers. Number two, in about 8 to 12 hours, she's going to open the vault with her magic.
Yeah.
So fuck me then. Like, why are we even what is with this fucking bullshit we're doing?
Yeah, I mean, and maybe Reyna doesn't know how long it's going to last. Maybe the pills are more potent to stop the magic. Like, don't say 24 hours if it's not going to be 24 hours. Or just say, like, I don't know how long this is going to mask your magic.
Yes, as the writer, when you know later in this episode, canonically, the evening of this day, she's going to open the vault, say, we don't even know how long this is going to stay in your system if it's just blood.
Because it's not even like it was something said in a past episode that maybe you hadn't planned all the episodes yet. Like, maybe you missed a detail. It's the same episode. Can you not at least keep timelines consistent in one episode?
It's one episode, and it's not even, you can't even like pretend it might have been more than 24 hours. It clearly isn't.
Yeah.
It's just like, why'd we do that? Bonnie says, after it wears off, we're going to do it again. And Reyna says, we don't know how many 24 hours you have left. And Bonnie says, shut the fuck up, and injects herself with Reyna's blood.
Bonnie's like, well, I'm counting on it being a few. So
we go over to the armory. Alex is walking toward the vault in the dark hallway. He's got a lantern. Inside the vault, Yvette, in air quotes, says, Alexandria?
Mm-hmm.
And Alex says, it's okay, Yvette, I'm here. And Yvette says, I'm so alone.
Yeah, she is.
As an evil entity, I know they're giggling. They're like, they're like, I can only say so many things. They're like, I'm alone, huh?
I'm alone, and I'm scared. I'm scared. Hi, sister.
Alexandria, who I've gathered to be my sister, who I have a good relationship with. And we have another sister who we don't like. Do I have an opinion on Virginia?
What's my thought? Oh, she put me in here. Oh, bitch.
Oh, well, I hate her, but I would love to see her. If I could get out, I would love to talk it out. Alex says, I'm going to get you out soon, I promise. And the evil entity said, hell yeah, queen.
It said, I bet you will, dumbass.
Said, you idiot.
Too easy.
We go to Rick and Caroline's car. They're outside Lexington, Kentucky. Caroline's on the phone with Reyna. And Reyna says, okay, they're getting close. They're about to. And Caroline says, I got it. No, don't elaborate. Thank you. She hangs up. Caroline says, you know, that was 5 minutes of crazy. I'm never getting back. Okay, so the girl's name is Ashlyn. The guy's name is Wyatt. The rest of her visions are just body parts. And Rick says, ah, a killing spree. And Caroline says, no. The body parts were Ashlyn and Wyatt's because they're just having a lot of sex. And Reyna was very descriptive about it. Reyna, don't you have anything else to do?
Like, aren't you being distracted by other visions?
Yeah, she said, I'm going to hang on to this one for a minute.
She said, ooh, she said, I like this channel.
Rick says, oh, that's good. Hopefully the afterglow will distract them. And speaking of sex, would you ever want to...
The tension is palpable.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, this is confirmation they've never had sex.
Oh, they don't seem to have even ever discussed having sex.
Yeah. They don't seem to be really kissing, even.
Yeah. Rick says, I mean, should I feel even the slightest twinge of guilt about this? Caroline says, no, we're doing them a favor. Let them go out on a high note. Rip out their hearts before they inevitably do it to each other. It's like, damn, girl, okay.
It's like, okay, girl, so Stefan being there affected you, huh?
Yeah, huh, interesting. Rick says, yeah, that's pretty bleak. Are you okay over there? Caroline says, I'm fine. Rick says, if you want to talk about Stefan, it's okay. He sees the writing on the wall. He's like, let's just rip the bandaid off.
He says, girl, look, we have an appointment at the Justice of the Peace on Thursday. I did put a deposit down, so can you let me know if I have a chance of getting that deposit back? I'm okay either way. If I give a 24-hour notice, I think I save some money.
All I ask is that if you call off the wedding, you compel them and I get my deposit back.
Yeah.
No hard feelings. Rick says, you know, we don't have to pretend that Stefan doesn't exist, especially now that he's showing up on our doorstep. And Caroline says, I didn't have anything to say to him then, and I don't have anything to say about him now. And Rick says, okay, good.
Rick says, interesting. It feels like that's not true.
Yeah, he's like, feels like that's you when you lie. We go back to the cabin. Reyna answers the phone. Damon's calling. Damon and Enzo are now in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. And Damon says, hey, I got your voicemail 4 times. We're literally at a crossroads. We could use a couple breadcrumbs. And Reyna says, oh, well, would you prefer I left Bonnie passed out on the bathroom floor? And Enzo says, hold on. She all right?
Enzo says, well, how'd that happen?
And Reyna says, no, she's not all right. She took my blood to hide herself from locator spells. And Enzo says, put her on the phone.
Enzo's like, no, uh-uh.
Reyna gives the phone to Bonnie and Bonnie says, hey. And Enzo says, have you lost your mind? And Bonnie says, you know, we spent 3 years hiding. I can't let them find me. And Enzo says, oh, and poisoning yourself is a better option? You just shortened the already minuscule window of time we have. We're so close. And Bonnie says, actually, no, you are not. You're nowhere near done. I'm staring at the floor. It's covered in names.
To be fair, a lot of those pieces of paper are just weird drawings. It's hard to say if that's each one.
It's hard to say how many names there really are. But it does feel like, even with Rick, Caroline, and Stefan and Matt, it does feel like we're moving a little slow. Because again, we're driving everywhere.
Yeah. There's a lot of travel associated with this.
Yeah. Enzo says, I will kill every last one of them. And Bonnie says, you know, just come home. I don't want our last moments to be like this. You a million miles away, connected only by some crappy cell signal. Whatever time I have left, I want to spend it with you. So just come home. And she hangs up. Enzo screams. He throws a little bit of a tantrum because he's pissed off.
Yeah, I would too, babe.
And Damon says, hey, I knew where you were, dude. Okay, I've been there for 3 years.
Damon's like, oh, I get it. Big time.
You're talking to the right guy. Damon says, you can't drink, fight, or kill your way out of it. Trust me, I tried. This isn't about you. It's not about your fears or your anger, because if this goes bad, you're going to have nothing but time to drown yourself in every dark emotion your brain can conjure up. Bonnie doesn't have that luxury, so you go to her. And Enzo says, I'm not, like, I can't just give up. And Damon says, I'm not asking you to give up. I need you to make sure she doesn't.
And Damon's like, and also I do have a plan of how to get out of this, and I don't think you'll agree with it, so it'll be better if I'm in the car alone.
Yeah, so getting you out of earshot is kind of top priority for me at this moment.
Yeah.
Because Damon also is like, yeah, I see how this is going. I don't think we're going to finish. Especially if she's taking injections of blood.
Because one thing about Damon, he is realistic.
Yeah.
For the most part. Well, realistic with this kind of stuff. In love, he, you know, he gets
he has his blind spots.
In terms of what he's capable of, he has a pretty realistic set of expectations.
Exactly. A little bit later, Damon is in the car alone, and he answers a call and says, thanks for getting back to me. We go over to the armory, and we can see that Damon is on the phone with Alex. And Alex says, I'll admit, I was surprised to see you on my phone sheet. The fuck is a phone sheet? Like, what are we writing?
Like, does she have a secretary that's like, here are your messages. This dude named Damon called. Are you in meetings all day? Answer your phone. She's in a meeting with Yvette.
Literally. She doesn't get phone service down at the vault. So she said, someone take my calls.
Yeah.
Alex says, is there something I can do for you, Damon? And Damon says, I have a rather lengthy list of Hellstone rejects I need killed post-haste. And I hear you have the resources to do it. And Alex says, well, as a matter of fact, I do. But do you have something to offer me in return? And Damon says, obviously, I came here with that in mind. How about a key to your creepy walk-in closet? And Alex says, I'm listening. And Damon says, you finish off that list, I'll deliver you Bonnie Bennett. And this is the right deal to make, I'm sorry.
It is.
Particularly if you plan on lying. These people need to normalize lying more.
Because at this point, and yeah, it gets away from them in a bit, but at this point it's like, yeah, sure, Bonnie will open the vault.
I'll give you Bonnie.
Me as Bonnie, you know, Bonnie has done this in the past. She makes like something spark in the corner and then is like, oops, spell didn't work. Or like open the physical door, but don't like drop the seal. Like we've literally done all sorts of these things before. Like there's plenty of ways to get out of this, even once you're in there, quote unquote, opening the vault.
Well, yeah, do what they did with the tomb, what Sheila did, which is open the door, but then make it that if you go, whoever goes in can't come out.
Yeah.
But no.
No, we're just keeping promises.
Forget our history. We all need to lie to each other more.
Yeah.
We go to Spartanburg, South Carolina. Matt and Stefan are in a construction area. It's like a house being renovated. And Matt says, I think Raina's GPS is off. I don't know why a vampire would want to hang around so much sharp wood.
You'd be shocked how much wood is around vampires all the time. They don't really pay attention to it in the same way, which is why a lot of them die.
Yeah, and also I think number one priority for a vampire is being out of the sun. Sharp wood is secondary.
Well, also the sharp wood doesn't matter if you're like by yourself, because me, I'm not going to walk into any of it.
Yeah, I just won't get staked. And Stefan also goes on to list reasons why this is a positive thing. Stefan says lots of privacy, plenty of neighborhoods to grab somebody from, feed at your leisure, stash the bodies, no trace, don't have to worry about someone like you coming after them, which makes me curious. Nice segue, Stefan.
Yeah.
He says, you did such a good job clearing vampires out of Mystic Falls. What makes you convinced Penny's death wasn't a car accident?
Yeah, because he's like, you clearly think vampires did it. That's coming strong from you. But didn't you take care of that? So what's the mismatch here?
Yeah, it even seems like you think I did it.
I'm curious what clue you're grabbing onto.
Yeah, what in my cover-up didn't work for you? Matt says, you know, little things didn't add up. No tire marks in the road. The impact sent a tree limb through the driver's side of the cab. Yet the airbag didn't deploy. Kind of a lazy cover-up from Stefan.
The airbag, I mean, whatever. Maybe the airbag didn't deploy. The no tire marks is unfortunately damning.
Yeah. Matt says, you know, everyone said I was obsessed and wouldn't let it go. But you know what it reminded me of? All the deaths covered up as animal attacks. The more I dug, the less sense it made.
Stefan's like, well, that's not fair. I purposely didn't do an animal attack.
Yeah, I purposely knew that would be too obvious. That's why I went with car accident.
Yeah.
Stefan says, so what did you find? Matt says, there was at least one vampire in Mystic Falls the night Penny died. We go to a flashback to when Penny died. Notably, they don't say when this is. We know it was after 2 years ago. But they're like, we're done specifying time. Like, y'all, we showed a calendar last week. Y'all are up in arms about it.
Yeah, we never gave a date to Liz dying. Like, we're not going to touch on that at all.
And honestly, I would have rather seen in these flashbacks less clarity on timeline.
Yeah.
Because we also know 2 years ago, Stefan was in the Philippines. And it's unclear in the timeline when Liz died.
Well, it's also just like, how long was he in the Philippines? It really doesn't matter, but it is like, it is nice that they don't actually say, so we can just imagine.
Yes. But of course, I'm going to look up if...
Because you're on your St. Patrick's Day witch hunt.
Guess when she died?
St. Patrick's Day.
February 8th.
So I guess maybe it's like another year later, yes. But it's not a whole year.
I think they didn't specify it because it's too easy to find the date of the sheriff's death. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't.
But it seems like it does matter to you.
Yeah, it does matter to me. I'm sorry. Them showing me that calendar has ruined my life. Stefan walks with flowers. He walks up to a grave. Matt narrates and was like, you know, you were in Mystic Falls that day. And we can see the grave that he's at is Liz Forbes's grave. Thank you, Jesus, because I thought he was going to be at Lily's grave.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Lily's too. And I was like, okay, great. This makes more sense.
This does make more sense. My little Steriline heart needed it. In South Carolina, Stefan says, yeah, I was there. I came back for the anniversary of the sheriff's death. I knew it'd be a hard day for Caroline, and I thought there'd be a good chance she'd show up. And if she did, I wanted to be there for her. He's so real for this because, like, yes, he was there for the anniversary of the sheriff's death. He got along with the sheriff quite well. He really just wanted to see if Caroline would be there. He's real.
And to stalk your girlfriend by being like, maybe she'll be at her mom's grave. Okay, Stefan, that's a little crazy. You could have just written her a letter.
While she was returning them unopened.
Or texted her one time.
Literally, make one call. It was classic Stefan, like, I'm going to be there for her at a grave. Okay.
I don't know if she would have been happy to see you, bud.
Let me ruin your memories of your mother, too, by the way. But also, to be fair, you know, if I'm Stefan, I'm like, you know who did ship Steriline? Was Miss Elizabeth Forbes.
He said, I wish she wasn't dead right now.
Yeah, she'd give me a shout out. Matt says, but she didn't show, did she? And Stefan says, no, she never did. Do you really think I'd hurt Penny?
Stefan's like, wait, okay. I'm starting to see what you're accusing me of, and I don't appreciate it.
Yeah, I take issue with it. And then the vampire, who's an MMA fighter, pops out and attacks them. He was waiting for them to, you know, lower their guard. He ate on this.
Yeah, he did surprise him.
He fights with them for a while. He tosses Stefan a few times. Matt reaches for his gun. The vampire picks Matt up and starts to push Matt's head toward a buzzsaw that he had turned on.
Yeah, ouchie.
Ouchie.
Don't want that.
But Stefan hits the vampire's head with a plank and Matt falls away from the buzzsaw.
Lucky that he didn't fall onto the buzzsaw.
Good move, Matt. And then Stefan pushes the vampire's head through the buzzsaw, splatters Matt and the whole house with blood. That vampire's like, I should not have turned on that buzzsaw. That gave him a bad idea. Stefan says, you okay? And Matt says, oh, thanks.
Matt says, don't make me thank you for that. I'm getting to my big reveal of the quote unquote truth that I've uncovered.
Of that I know the truth that you killed Penny. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And Stefan's like, you don't want to have this conversation with me, buddy.
Stefan said, let's not reveal that truth.
Mm-hmm.
We go over to a tattoo shop in Lexington, Kentucky. Caroline and Rick walk in. Ashlyn and Wyatt are there getting matching tattoos. And Caroline says, hi, we're getting married this weekend and we want to get his and hers tattoos. And the tattoo artist is like, I'm with a client.
Yeah.
She sees that Wyatt is getting a tattoo that says Ash. Caroline says, oh my god, I love that. Ash, is that short for Ashley? The girl says, Ashlyn. Caroline says, oh my god, that's a beautiful name, right, honey? And Rick says, oh yeah, I love it. And then Rick and Caroline both start shooting. They're like, that's enough.
We've done what we need to do.
They focus on Wyatt first. Wyatt says, Ashlyn. And Ashlyn says, sorry, babe. And she runs outside.
She said, fuck that.
She said, I don't know you. Caroline says, poor form, Ashlyn. And then she says, shoot. And so Rick shoots Wyatt. So they are done with that. And so they chase after Ashlyn. But then she gets shot by some people on the other side of the fence. And Rick says, oh, I guess we should thank you. And then some people show up behind them and they're like, oh, Professor Saltzman, you're both going to come with us. And they're like, oh.
It's like, okay.
Oh, we're surrounded.
Well, that was quick.
We go back over to the cabin. Enzo has arrived home. Hurt. He puts a blanket over Bonnie and she says, you came back. And he says, when have I not? And they like cuddle up together. And she says, don't be sad. I've decided I'm not going to be sad. Not going to think about all the things we never got the chance to do together. I'm going to be happy and think about all the things we did do together. And Enzo says, what, like all the excitement and adventure I provided you within the confines of these four walls?
They fell in love.
She didn't need all that other stuff. And she says, well, you know, it worked for Beauty and the Beast. And he says, ah, you were never that beastly. T-ball, too easy.
He said, yeah, I'm sorry, you set me up.
They kiss. She's sad. And then Raina comes in with firewood and drops it all. It's like, oh my God, we're having a moment.
So can you take 1 second?
Like, how much do you need this fire to burn, girl? Calm down. Sit down. Have some tea. She has a bunch of visions of Ermory people killing vampires. And so they're doing it more rapidly because they're trained.
Yeah. And they're like, there's more of them working. So it's like, oh, they're getting killed really fast now.
Yeah. Bonnie says, what's happening? And Raina says, killing. They're killing them.
And it's like, good. Isn't that what you wanted? Like, why are you acting shocked?
Yeah, you told them to, girl.
This has been going on.
Yeah. We go out to Damon's car. He calls Stefan and says, good news, bro. Like, you can pack up your implements of destruction and punch your time card. Every box on Reyna's list will be checked by tonight. Stefan says, wow, looks like you pulled it off. This ought to tip the scales in your favor with Bonnie. And Damon says, well, it's a little bit more complicated than that.
Damon says, oh, I doubt it.
He said, oh, trust me, it won't. It'll tip them further in the bad way, but I've come to accept it.
Yeah.
Stefan says, yeah, well, with you, it usually is. By the way, yeah, I am still mad at you. You put me quite literally through hell, and I'm not ready to let that go yet, but don't think I'm not noticing all the good you've been doing lately. Keep it up. It means something. And he hangs up. He's like, ah, I'm going to be honest. I'll forgive you, but, you know, it's been like a week. I got to.
And Damon's like, I mean, you don't have to say it. Like, I know I'll get forgiven because I get forgiven.
Yeah, one thing about me, I'm going to get forgiven. We go back to South Carolina, and Stefan says, well, you know, looks like we're all done here. And Matt says, no, we're not.
Matt's like, I still have questions. And Stefan's like, oh, still?
It's like, oh, okay, I still got to talk about this. Matt says, I don't think you meant to hurt Penny, but you know what happened to her. You know, I couldn't make sense of my memories from that night. And then I checked the footage on my dash cam. Stefan's like, damn it, I knew I was forgetting something.
He's like, damn, I really compelled him in front of a dash cam? He said, this police reform is getting out of control.
It's like, I thought cops all turned those off. We go to a flashback. We see Matt watching the dash cam. He sees himself walking with Stefan. And Stefan, like, holds both of Matt's shoulders and talks. And it's like, oh, he's compelling me. But then even better, this dash cam has audio. So Matt turns up the volume. And Stefan says, it was an accident, Matt. Penny didn't suffer. You never saw me here.
And at this point, I was like, oh, Matt did it. Like, I was like, Matt crashed the car. But at this point, because... Look, Stefan makes plenty of mistakes and like that happens, but he very rarely will like compel and cover up a mistake.
Yes.
Because he wants the guilt to be there. Like this was very clearly a merciful move.
Stefan has no reason to kill Penny unprovoked unless he's in a Ripper phase, which he wasn't.
Yeah, like at best he would have killed her on accident. Like I thought maybe he was like standing in the road and her car skid. That was, like, as much as I thought he would have done something with this.
Yeah. Well, it was, like, a self-defense thing.
Yeah.
In South Carolina, Matt says, you compelled me. I'm guessing you don't need me to tell you what you said. And Stefan says, no, you don't.
Stefan's like, Matt, I wish I could convince you that you don't want to hear this. But clearly, you're not going to let this go. So, unfortunately, I will be breaking some very bad news to you.
Yeah. Matt says, now you're going to tell me the truth. And he points a gun at Stefan. Stefan's like, okay, like.
Stefan's like, I really don't want to, but not for the reasons you think.
Yeah. We go back to the cabin. Bonnie and Enzo come outside as Damon is pulling up, and they realize what Damon's been up to. So Bonnie says, you know, just when I thought you were worthy of forgiveness, you do this. And Damon says, what did you expect, that I was just going to let you die? And Bonnie says, I'd rather that than be forced to open the vault. And Damon should say, you don't have to. I could lie.
Like, I just said you would do that. I'm not making you do it.
Damon says, what happened to the new Bonnie, the one that is not so eager to just sacrifice herself? I don't understand. I have a shaman ready to make you the proud new owner of Raina's last life. All you have to do is open that stupid vault for Alex and you're done. Bonnie says Alex can't be trusted. And Dame says, Bonnie, stop being so dramatic, okay? She just wants her sister back.
Yeah.
And that does kind of seem like that's all that Alex wants. Like, obviously this vault has other things in it, but it kind of seems like Alex just wants her sister.
Well, it seems like, you know, even from what Bonnie has said, it seems that, like, it drives people crazy. Alex is a human. Like, even if she comes after you crazy, like, you or Enzo could take her.
Yeah, just kill her.
Like, it doesn't really seem like that high risk.
Yeah. Bonnie says, whatever is in that vault makes people into monsters, and I'm not going to be responsible for letting it out. Damon turns to Enzo and says, hey, you're pretty quiet on this one. I think you had a ringside seat to Mary Louise and Nora's final few days. Do you want to relive those good times? And Damon's right to bring Enzo into this, because Enzo is benefiting from shutting the hell up.
Well, which Enzo knows. He's like, this does work out.
I'm not going to say that, because Bonnie's mad. Enzo says Bonnie can make her own decisions.
This is such a Delana Stelena moment.
Yes.
Where Enzo is the Stefan.
We're doing this love triangle thing. Like, why are we doing this if you don't want us to ship Damon and Bonnie?
It's the common theme through this season. It's like, if we're going to do that, commit to it all the way. There's just a lot of stuff that they're not, like, they're, like, doing and then walking it back.
And they know that, like, Delana stands are serious. But you know who else was serious? Claroline stands.
You threw us in the trash.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, like, the worst thing that's going to happen is people are going to stop watching the show. Just make a fucking decision. Commit to the time jump. Commit to a love triangle. Commit to something.
Also, because you have to know, once Nina leaves, like, 2 seasons is about fair for the rest of it.
Yeah, you're living on borrowed time.
So you might as well go big with it, because now you're just, like, not committing to anything, and that's not working either.
Yeah. Damon says, yeah, and when she's dead, you'll be making her decisions for her, like what dress she's going to be buried in. This is a great argument. It perfectly instills. I mean, Damon's always been like, sometimes we have to make decisions for each other. We can't trust each other's own instincts all the time.
Well, and especially Damon with Elena, with Bonnie, he's like, I'm not going to let them make their own decision if that decision is them sacrificing themselves for something that they don't have to sacrifice themselves for.
Yeah, and that's fair. Damon gets a call from Alex and he says, hey, I hit a little bit of a snag, but if you just, and Alex says, oh, put her on. So Damon hands the phone to Bonnie, says, it's for you. Bonnie says, yeah. And Alex says, Bonnie, I know you don't have much time left, but I'm hoping you'll reconsider. Now that I have something in my possession you might be willing to fight for. We see that this is where Caroline and Rick have been brought. And you know what? Smart of Alex to have insurance, because she's probably like, you know, Damon could just lie to me about the vault.
Yeah, like, this is fair enough. And, you know, Bonnie's better than me, because if he handed me the phone with Alex, I would have hung up. I would not have talked to her. Yeah. So she would have been like, hey.
Can't I reveal my kidnapping?
I have captives.
Yeah. We go over to the armory. Caroline and Rick are there walking about. And Rick is, like, looking at the exhibit, I guess. Why not?
I mean, what else are you there to do?
He says, oh, my God, I don't believe it. And he's looking at this, like, little thing. And he says, Lapis Tabello, this was given to Charlemagne by his first wife. And Caroline says, explains why he got a second wife.
Real.
Rick says, legend has it this allowed him to conquer half of Western Europe. I spent 3 years searching for this thing. Why? Did you want to conquer Western Europe? What were you looking for this for?
When were you into Charlemagne?
I mean, maybe this was before we met him. Like, maybe this was when he was married to Isabel, this was the kind of research he was doing.
Sure.
Maybe. But anyway, he says, I couldn't find it. I gave up. I convinced myself it didn't exist. There it is. Caroline says, well, good thing we got kidnapped. Now it gives you a little bit of closure.
She's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
She said, why would I give a fuck? She says, I'm sorry, you were right. Both of us shouldn't have come. And Rick says, well, think of it like this. If you didn't, I probably would have had my throat ripped out. So there's that. And Caroline says, this is the longest I've ever been away from the girls. All I want to do is get home and hold them. And Rick says, yeah, I know. And Caroline says, tell me everything's going to be fine. And Rick says, everything's going to be fine.
And it's like, okay, Rick, at least pretend.
And Caroline says, do you want to try that again? Maybe this time, like, actually believing it? And Rick says, do you know what this place is? Half of these things should have been lost to history, disappeared. The other half shouldn't even exist. Now, if these guys can make all of this disappear, they're going to have no problem making us disappear. So when I say, yeah, we're all going to be fine, what I'm really saying is I'm praying like hell that whatever they want, somebody's willing to give it to them.
And he's like, and let's be honest, I'm not going to be the draw as the hostage for what people are going to work for. So unfortunately, it's you.
Yeah. We go back to South Carolina and Stefan says, hey, Matt, I know this is really hard for you, but you really have to trust me. Anything I tell you will only make it worse. He's trying.
he can see that Matt's not going to let this up, but he's like, I do have to try to stop you because you're not going to be happy when I say this.
Yeah.
You're not going to be pleased. And there's no way for me to say that to you without you thinking I did it.
Yeah.
But trust me.
Matt says, how am I supposed to trust you? You were the last person to see Penny alive that you know of.
Stefan says, one of.
Yeah. We flash back to Mystic Falls, the woods, the night Penny died. Stefan is there. He's still by the grave. He's still by Liz Forbes's grave.
Yeah, like maybe walking back to his car.
Yeah, he's accepting the fact that Caroline's not coming. And Penny is there, and she points a gun at him. And she says, keep your hands where I can see them. And he says, I'm sorry, am I doing something illegal?
Yeah, he's like, girl, can you let me go? Like, I was just visiting a grave. This isn't that serious.
And she says, depends where those blood bags in your trunk came from. Oh, so you illegally searched my car?
That's not.
What I would say if I was Stefan, I'd be like, I took the bus here. I don't have a car.
Yeah.
Not my car. Of course, she already knows he's a vampire. Well,
and it also doesn't matter if she illegally searched his car because this is never going to court.
Yeah, literally. Like, not in this town. That's what I'd say.
No, this is what I'd say. I'd run away.
Yeah, literally.
What's she going to do?
I'd say, oh, the blood bag's in my car? Vamp, run away.
Yeah.
Stefan says, oh, I can explain that. She shoots him. And she says, you're a vampire. I know. And it's like, okay. Do you want a prize for finding a vampire?
Like, oh, congratulations. Everyone knows I'm a vampire. It's like the worst kept secret.
I'm like the one vampire. I have a whole diary about it.
Yeah.
Stefan pulls the stake out and the vampire runs away. And we go back to South Carolina. And Matt says, was it self-defense? Like, Caroline didn't show up, so you needed to take it out on someone else? And Stefan says, Matt, if that's what you think, then maybe you should pull the trigger.
Matt, does that sound like something Stefan would do?
Yeah. And if he were to do it, would he do it on your girlfriend? No, he'd do it on a rando.
Yeah. Now, Damon, very much a Damon thing to do, okay?
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, if you were accusing him of it, I couldn't fight you on that. But Stefan, that's reaching and you know it.
Or even Enzo, like, I'd be like, yeah, I see where you got that point. But Stefan, come on. Matt says, just tell me what happened.
And Stefan's like, fine. Like, fuck me for trying to help.
Stefan says, for the last time, you know, I just want to reiterate that you don't want to know. Matt says, I need to know. So he drops his gun and he takes off his Ravain bracelet and says, please, like, I need to know the truth. And Stefan says, okay, I did everything I could. So he compels him. Remember, we flash back to the night Penny died. Matt's there. He's pulled up in his cop car. He's got his siren on, his headlights on. And he walkies. He's like, oh, Penny, do you copy? She doesn't say anything.
That's what she gets for not answering the radio.
Yeah. And he's like, Penny, you copy? And we can see in South Carolina that Matt is remembering this as we're seeing it. Matt clearly sees people running around. His headlights are on, so his eyes haven't adjusted to the dark. He sees a movement, and he shoots it without any further investigation. Classic cop.
Yeah. I know that if you're shooting at vampires, they're going to survive, like, a random shot. But, like, there can be humans in the woods. The town is not evacuated anymore.
Yeah.
Teenagers go to the woods.
And they might be, like, drinking underage, and that's why they're not answering when you call out.
Yeah.
But anyway, he says Stefan, and we see Stefan is there, but Stefan wasn't shot. And then in the background, we hear Penny gurgling.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt shot Penny.
In the neck, by the way.
Yeah, again, classic cop. They run over to Penny. Stefan offers her some blood and, like, tries to feed it to her. And Matt says, hey, Penny, like, you got a drink. Stay with me. Oh, all of a sudden, you don't want to ban vampires. Now you want their blood.
Now, all of a sudden, thank God Stefan was there, huh?
But he wasn't there quite in time, and Penny dies, because Matt did shoot her in the neck.
Like, she didn't have a ton of time there.
Yeah. Stefan says, well, it's too late. And Matt says, no. And Stefan says, well, you know, Matt, I'm sorry. And Matt says, oh, no, oh, my God. And then in South Carolina, as he's remembering that, Matt says, no. And Stefan says, yeah, Matt.
Stefan says, well, I tried to tell you.
And Matt says, oh, my God, it was my fault. And Stefan says, it's okay.
And it's like, it is your fault, but it goes a little further than that. Like, you killed a person.
It's not just your fault. It was...
yeah, it was something you did.
Matt starts to cry. In the flashback, he says, Penny, but she's dead. And in present day, Matt's crying and he says, oh my God, I killed her. And Stefan says, yeah, I'm sorry.
Stefan's like, yeah, I really didn't want you to have to get there, but...
I told you you didn't want to know.
You wanted to know. You said you had to know, so...
Let this be a lesson that Stefan sometimes makes decisions that are tough but are correct.
Yeah, Stefan's like, you want me to compel you again?
I'll do it. This time I'll tell you not to investigate, because I guess I should have said that last time.
I guess I needed to specify that.
Which I do think, honestly, Stefan, that's a little bit of a skill issue, because it is like...
I think so.
You know Matt's going to investigate it if it looks even a little bit like it wasn't an accident.
I don't think he really like put that much thought into it.
I don't think so either. I think he was busy. He was crying
because he wasn't planning on being in town. He didn't live there. There's no vampires, so there's no reason Matt should expect that a vampire did this.
Mm-hmm.
Matt just made his own mess, as he
Matt did make his own mess. We go over to the armory. Bonnie is at the vault and she's doing a spell. It's like, oh, okay.
It's like, oh, so we're just jumping right into that, huh? But it's because she's like, I have a plan to get through pretty quick.
Yeah. She has a nosebleed. There's some wind. The door opens and the candles blow out. And Bonnie says, okay, it's done. And Alex says, thank you, Bonnie. You and your friends are free to go. And Bonnie goes.
Bonnie's like, bye.
And the armory people all go into the vault. Upstairs, a level up from the vault where all the cells are, Damon and Enzo are hanging out. And Enzo says, you do realize by forcing her hand, you've just dashed any hope of Bonnie ever absolving you. And Damon says, I didn't know it took so many words to say thank you.
Damon's like, don't worry about me. It'll work out.
Yeah. And Enzo says, don't pretend this was all in service of some altruistic desire to save Bonnie. This was all so you could assuage your own guilt over abandoning her. Okay.
It can be both.
It can be both. And also, if this was a truly selfish decision that Damon was making, you know the decision he would have made? Die. I want Elena back.
Yeah.
He has no other reason to save Bonnie except to save Bonnie. Damon says, was it selfish of me to not want my best friend to die? You bet. And Enzo says, what do you want? A round of applause for your betrayal? Bravo, well done. And Damon says, I don't want applause, but it'd sure be nice to hear you admit you considered making the same deal, but you knew you'd lose her. This is a classic, like, Stefan and Damon conversation about Elena. They're just setting up a love triangle here in a way they don't need to if they're not going to do it.
Yeah, because this is classic Damon to be like, look, I know you'd get in trouble for making this choice, but the thing is, people have very low expectations of me, and they will forgive me for shit like this, because this is something I would do. It's the same thing as when he turned Bonnie's mom into a vampire. Everyone knew it was the right call, but he was the only one who actually did it.
Yeah. Damon says, lucky for you, you have me. Because she hates me, it's humanly impossible for her to hate me more than she already does. So I did what you couldn't, and now she'll hate me, not you. It's hard not to be on Damon's side here. He's right. Enzo knows that this was the right call, but Enzo would never have done it. So if I'm Enzo, I'm shutting my mouth.
Well, I can see why, like, Bonnie's mad. But, you know, in a couple minutes, we get to, like, it's really a non-issue right now.
Yeah.
Someone had to make a move, and Damon made a move.
Bonnie comes in and says, okay, let's grab Caroline and Rick and get out of here. Let's run. So she's rushing them out. In the vault, Alex says, okay, be ready for anything. She's not ready for the one thing that she should be ready for, though, which is Yvette being dead.
Yeah, be ready for anything, but certainly my human sister is alive down here.
Yeah.
That's a definite.
They all go in. Alex says, hey, Yvette. Yvette's voice, so we think, says Alexandria. But the captions say young woman, I should say.
Okay. Yeah, the voice says, hey, so you're going to get some rough news.
Like, oh, so you're in here. Oh, Alex says, I'm here. And the voice says, Alexandria. And Alex says, where are you? Yvette. And then Alex comes across something and she says, no. And we see it's a decomposed body, which we can tell by Alex's reaction that that is Yvette's body. You were always team. Yvette is already dead. You were right. Confirmation.
This is a big Didoy moment.
Yeah, literally. I'm sure when Alex saw her, she's like, you know what? This is on me.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, shouldn't have wandered into a vault that was getting sealed. That is, again, skill issue.
Yes. The young woman says, Alexandria, which is just rude because Alex already knows Yvette's dead. Stop she's using her voice.
I can see the dead body.
She using her voice.
You got me.
Alex says, what have you done to my sister? There's like a screeching sound. One guy gets pulled up. And Alex says, run. And they try to leave the vault, but people are pulled back in. They get to the front door. They check the exits, but they're stuck. And outside, Bonnie is doing a spell. And Alex says, Bonnie.
She's like, hey.
Damon says, what did you just do? And Bonnie says, I kept my promise. No one's getting out. And Alex shouts, hey, Bonnie, please. And then Bonnie faints. So what Bonnie has essentially done is make the armory a vault.
Yeah.
We've contained the vault. What do you think happens to all these people inside? There are many people in Alex.
Die. Dead.
Die dead. Okay.
Either from the evil entity making them go crazy and kill each other, or, you know, there can only be so much food in there because they've filled all their storage with all their artifacts.
Yeah, literally. Plus,
they have a bunch of weird weapons just sitting around. If I'm an evil entity, I mean jackpot, baby.
Yeah, literally.
Everybody grab something new.
Everybody kill each other. Let's have fun.
Ooh, somebody try that one.
Slumber party.
Yeah.
We go to South Carolina. Matt is still sad, which is fair because he did just learn he killed his fiance.
I mean, he did just get some devastating news. This is on par with him finding out about Vicky for sure.
Oh, yeah. This is even worse.
At least that one wasn't his fault.
Yeah, there's nothing he could have done about Vicky. This one, he could have just not shot his fiance.
Yeah.
Stefan says, you know, I just didn't want you to be consumed by one moment in your life that you couldn't take back. And Matt says, you know, I released Raina and helped her kidnap Caroline to punish you for something I did.
And it's like, yeah, that was kind of fucked up. I'm, you know, but I was okay. I was, you know, I didn't want you to have guilt, but I'm glad to hear you say that.
Yeah. And Stefan is being very nice here because he could say, yeah, well, you shot your own fucking fiance, bitch. But instead, Stefan says something nice. Like he says, hey, you can't blame yourself, Matt. Like he's really trying to help Matt out. And then Matt hits back with, oh, no,
I don't blame myself. I blame you.
How's that work? From where I'm sitting, it seems like you're the only one to blame. All the love in the world.
From where I'm sitting, you shot your fiance in the neck, and I tried to help but couldn't. But also, you didn't even want vampires in town anyway, so you should be so thankful I was even there.
Yeah.
Matt says he really backbends himself into logic here. He says, yeah. I may have pulled the trigger. That's the biggest part of it.
What's May?
Yeah, number one, you did. Matt says, but you know, none of this would have happened if you hadn't come back.
He wasn't like seeking y'all out. Like he was trying to come back and stay in his own corner.
Yeah, Penny was the one patrolling the woods. And Matt says, why couldn't you have just stayed away from us?
Because that's my hometown where I have a home that I lived in longer than you. I didn't come threaten anybody. There's no reason she should have been in the woods looking for vampires.
Yes, it's one thing if Stefan comes to town and he's feeding on people. Or Stefan comes to town and he captures Penny for some leverage for some reason. Stefan came to town to visit Liz Forbes's grave. And I know that Matt is just projecting here because he doesn't want to admit that he killed his own fiance. So he's trying to blame Stefan.
He's trying to find some way in which this isn't his fault. Because I get it. It's harmful. But do you not have at least reverence for Liz Forbes that like someone cares enough about to visit her? And like,
I get why Matt wanted to kick people out of Mystic Falls. But if we learned anything from like the anti-magic border chapter, like that doesn't stop anything. People are going to be home. But also it's like when he kicked Stefan out, Stefan was like at his lowest, had just come out of hell, marked for death, and he kicked him out of his house. Like, I'm sorry. You can't tell me that, like, it's crazy that Stefan wanted to be home every so often. And Stefan was still nice enough to leave town. And Stefan didn't seek any of you out. He didn't kill anyone. He sat at Liz's grave all day and was about to leave. Y'all were the ones looking for a fight. For people who are so excited that vampires were out of town, you certainly came and hunted one quick. Because what else do you have? This is the thing that I think is a struggle with Matt's character. And I think this is why people end up hating him. Is like, I just want Matt to decide if he hates vampires or not. And then he needs to be honest about what that means. Because the truth is, he's not committing to anything. If he were really committing to killing all vampires, he would have killed Stefan after he killed Penny.
He would have just immediately said, you know what? This is your fault. I'm killing you. But he wasn't like resisting the compulsion.
And he was happy to take the blood from Stefan to try to heal Penny. It's just like, if you want vampires out of your life, nut up or shut up. Kill all your fucking friends. But you don't want to do that because you know, guess who won't forgive you for that? Lena.
That's what he tried to find this go-between where he just kicks them all out of their home so he can be at home there. Even though like, if anyone has claim over that as their home, it's Stefan and Damon. And Caroline, I mean, founding families, hello. Unfortunately, Matt Donovan.
I hate to pull the founding family card.
But but if we're thinking birthright of where to live places, it's like, and I know you're mad that Penny got killed by you.
Yes.
And I know you're projecting, but can't you at least at this point see like, okay, Stefan was trying to protect me. That's a friend being hurt by me and letting that happen just so I didn't have to face this.
And this is the thing. I think he knows he's wrong because if he really did blame Stefan, he would kill him right now.
Yeah.
But he also knows that loses all his friends. And he's also feeling guilty now for getting Caroline kidnapped. Because now he sees the reason he got Caroline kidnapped was to get Stefan killed for revenge on Stefan killing Penny, which Matt did. So now Caroline's mad at him.
And after all that, all the hoops he's had to jump through, all the like guilt that's now on him, his girlfriend's still dead.
Yeah.
Like this didn't change anything. If anything, it made it worse. Because at least when he was grieving, he had like some anger to hold on to of like, I can avenge her somehow. And now he can't avenge her without getting himself locked up. Like, you murdered someone. And it was an accident. It was second degree, but still.
And that's the thing. Like, he loves to be a cop because it's like right and wrong. People are punished for their issues. I can bet you, you're not turning yourself in. You're just going to close this case and shut up, huh?
Yeah, I bet that accident is going to stay on file, huh?
Yeah. And this is the thing with Liz Forbes that was great, is she like reviewed her alliances and saw what the cover-ups did for people and what helped. She was able to be flexible. But Matt is still using cover-ups and vampire stuff to help him, but acting like he's above it. That's the problem with Matt.
Yeah.
Anyway, Stefan says, I only came back. And Matt says, yeah, for Caroline, I know. But it sounds like she didn't want you. So why don't you just stay away from her too? You ruined my life, Stefan, and Penny's too. Whose life are you going to ruin next? Again, you shot her in the neck, so Stefan didn't ruin her life. You did. And you ruined your own life by shooting your fiance.
You didn't just ruin Penny's life, Matt. You ended it.
In the background, what starts to play but the Callum Scott cover of Dancing on My Own. Excellent needle drop.
A hit. We haven't had a hit in some time.
I know. I could have used this for another 10 minutes. I don't care. It's perfect. We go over to the Salvatore house. This is just funny because the only person Matt kicked out was Stefan. Like, everyone else just went their own ways on their own, so they don't even know they're banned from Mystic Falls. So they're just back.
Well, it's like, yeah, let's go to the Salvatore house. Like, why drive to this cabin? This house is bigger.
Yeah. Bonnie's on the couch. She's weak. And Enzo says, won't be long now, darling. Damon and Raina will take it from here. Just hang in there. Caroline is making you her apparently famous get-well soup. Bonnie says that soup is awful.
I bet it is, because I bet she's putting a lot of kale in. I bet it's like very useful and productive.
Yeah, I'm sure it's very nutrient heavy.
But it doesn't go down smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the kitchen, Caroline is making soup. Rick is there. She says, tomorrow is the first rehearsal for the May Day pageant. I signed the girls up for Maypole duty. What are we supposed to tell the teachers? They're three and it's Maypole duty.
It's Maypole. You run in a circle.
They can figure it out in a month and a half.
You follow the person in front of you and you hold a ribbon.
It's so easy.
I know they're three, but come on.
Caroline says, oh, sorry, Miss Patty, we missed rehearsal because we're off slaughtering vampires. And Rick says, we can just get in the car right now. And Caroline says, no, not before I know Bonnie's going to be okay. God only knows how many more ways Damon can screw this up by end of day. And Rick says, are you sure that's the only reason? He's not ready to drop it.
Yeah, he's like, I hate to bring this up again, but it's looking bad for wedding.
Yes. Caroline says, yeah, why else would I want to stay? And then he doesn't even say anything. She says, no, I do not want to see Stefan, okay? He says, well, you just brought up Stefan without me bringing it up, so what do you think? Rick says, I just want to know. You know, you left things unfinished. And Caroline says, oh, things are finished. He finished them when he just Ashlyn'd his way out of town 3 years ago. Did you see how she just bailed on Wyatt like that? You know, he was her partner. And then the minute things got a little bit messy, she just ran away. How do you see anything about a disaster of a love affair like that that needs finishing?
And he's like, okay, so you did read into that.
Yeah, clearly, it doesn't take a genius to see what's going through your mind right now. Rick says, I don't really want to talk about Ashlyn or Wyatt. And Caroline says, well, okay, cut from the table. I'm not talking about them. I'm just talking about partnership and commitment and loyalty and honesty. And all those things Stefan took away from me. And Rick says, yeah, no, I understand that. But, you know, there hasn't been any closure. And Caroline says, oh, I don't need closure. Clearly you do, girl.
Tell your mouth.
Yeah. Rick says, okay, well, I do. I need closure. I don't know if you remember this, but my last wedding didn't go so well. So if you think there's a chance that you and Stefan might find your way back together again, I'd like to know before I pick out my tie. Because I want to marry you and be your loyal, honest, committed partner. And I want our little family to work, but I don't want it if you'd rather be with someone else. And it's like, Rick, I think you know the answer here.
I mean, it's obvious, and she may not be ready to admit it, but someone has to make the call. Unfortunately, Valerie had a point when she left.
Yes.
Don't let Valerie eat you up like this.
Literally. And it just feels like even if she doesn't want Stefan, Rick, clearly she doesn't want you.
Yeah. She's happy with the family and the kids and everything, but she doesn't want you.
That much is clear to even you. Caroline says, look, I love our little family, Rick. It's unconventional, but I'm happy. Number one problem, Rick doesn't want this to be unconventional. He actually wants you to have a very conventional family.
Yeah.
Caroline says, so if this is the big conversation where we're honest about our life together, I think we should talk about the fact that you're the one unfulfilled by it. And he says, what do you mean? She says, Well, I saw you today. You know, in that place, we were being held captive, and all you could talk about was some stupid necklace. It's pretty clear you've been Indiana Jonesing for something like that for a while now. Look, we've been trying so hard to have a normal life, but our life is not normal. Our kids are witch siphons. We are pretty deep in this. And if that's the way it has to be, I want to be deep in it with you, okay? And they smile. I think this is a conversation they need to have, that Rick is unfulfilled by their life. And yes, I do think that the supernatural thing is something that he's unfulfilled by. But I do think they need to have an honest conversation in the fact that they want different things out of this relationship, and they both know it. And Rick is the one who is unfulfilled by this relationship. He'd rather have Caroline leave, because what he's unfulfilled by in this relationship is that he doesn't have someone who loves him. And that's not going to change.
Well, yeah, and he can sit and like hope that it'll change. And he, like, in his mind, and he said this, like, he'd rather have this like okay version than have nothing. But it's like, well, this version is not winning for you. And when she gets back with Stefan, because we see that coming, you see it coming, she sees it coming, Stefan sees it coming, though he knows he's optimistic right now, but he sees the writing on the wall. Like, then you're just gonna have to face this then. So you might as well make that choice for yourself and not be forced into it.
Yeah, you might as well bow out gracefully.
Yeah.
We go out to the woods. Damon is walking with Raina. And he says, I can't say I'm going to miss you, Stabby Pants, but you're doing a grande solid for Bonnie. I figured that deserves a thank you, even in my twisted book. And Raina says, okay, you're welcome. Damon, you could have just said thank you.
Like, whatever. Just let's move this along.
Damon says, okay, bonfire, check. Last descendant of the tribe that created you. By the way, thank you for that, check. And Bonnie's O negative, check. So you just found the shaman easily. We're not even going to question how we found the shaman.
You know, we have to assume Raina called him.
Yeah.
I don't know. They are like, we're not going to get into this. And you know what? I don't actually want to know the details.
Yeah, I know. I can't like die on this hill, because it's like, I really don't give a fuck, because it's just a point. But it's like, oh, so the shaman was no big.
Well, that's the thing. If they planned this season out better, they could have had an episode of like finding this shaman.
But they keep putting too many time limits on things. They're like, well, we're hitting the end of 48 hours. So
let's pull a shaman out of thin air.
The shaman says, it's a great honor to meet you, Raina.
And she says, I bet.
Yeah, she says, oh, I'm sure. Damon says, we're in a bit of a hurry, so if you could get on with the shamaning. It's like, oh, give him a second.
He's a shaman. Let him take like 5 minutes.
Let him fangirl for a minute. But the shaman starts the spell. He gives a blade to Raina. They sit. He dumps Bonnie's blood on the blade. And the shaman says, hear me, great spirit. We call upon you in this moment of need. We do a quick peek over at the Salvatore house, where Enzo is laying with Bonnie. Rick and Caroline are there. Caroline has brought her soup in. Rick and Caroline are holding hands. Boo. The shaman says, one has come before you for many lifetimes as your servant, your vengeance. Let her journey end. Let another take her remaining years. Let another take up her burden. And Dame says, wait, what?
Dame says, burden. And I had that same thing. I saw it in the closed caption. I said, oh.
Ooh, not good.
No, not that part.
Raina smiles because she knows she got them here. And she says, do you think I could ever forgive you for the things you did to me? Now neither will Bonnie. When she wakes up, she'll be just like me, full of hatred for you and your kind, and unable to rest until you've been wiped from this earth. Damon says, Raina, and then Raina stabs herself and dies. And at the Salvatore house, Bonnie wakes up, and that is the end of this episode. So is this true that this burden will transfer to Bonnie and she will wake up with hatred for vampires? And if so, how do we solve it?
I mean, I think she'll wake up with the burden and like the thought, but you know, you brought up Jeremy in the five before, like she'll just be like, well, I'll get past this. I mean, not to be mean to Raina, but Bonnie's stronger than you.
Yeah.
And she has like more love for vampires already.
Yes, she has a lot of vampires in her life. Raina had no vampires in her life. The only vampire Raina had met and talked to was Julian. If the only vampire I met was Julian, I'd want to kill them all too.
Well, and then also her boyfriend that got turned. But we don't know that story, is what I'm saying. Like, we don't know that, like, we don't know how she reacted, let's say, when her boyfriend turned into a vampire. Did she immediately say, well, he's a vampire, gotta kill him? Or was there, you know, a tinge there at least?
But I'm saying that happened after she became a hunter, so the instinct was already preset. Bonnie knows a lot of people before this instinct is set in.
Yeah.
And the only vampire Raina knew before the instinct was Julian, who she hated.
Yeah. I'm just saying we don't know how strong that instinct was with this boyfriend, with love in the mix.
But we do know she killed him. So we know that the instinct won out eventually.
Yeah. But yeah, we've seen variations in this instinct. And we've also seen variations in how people approach this. We look back on another member of the Five, Alexander, who dated Rebecca for a while before he decided to be like, hey, actually, I hate your guts. So it's hard to know how exactly this will manifest, but, you know, she'll get past this.
Or even Vaughn worked with Damon a little bit to get to Silas. I mean, It seems like, you know, they always set up like they're hardwired to kill vampires, but that's not a really interesting villain if they just immediately shoot you as soon as they come in.
Because that's what happened with Jeremy, too. Like, he, you know, choked out Elena like one time, and then he was like, oh, I don't want my sister dead.
Yeah.
So I'll get past that. And Bonnie doesn't have like a mystical sword guiding her in the same way Reyna does. Like, there's not, like, that adds an extra level of pull to Reyna.
Sure. I want to ask, so this was episode 20, which means we have 2 episodes left of this season. Where do you think we're heading with the rest of the season with what we have set up? Because I also want to bring up, and this can mean whatever we want it to mean, because we've seen, you know, different variations before. We're still in the vault chapter, and we will continue to be in the vault chapter, but the vault seems to be closed pretty conclusively. So in this season, are we going to solve this Bonnie thing? Basically, what's going on? Is the wedding still on?
Oh, good. Ask me 4 questions at once. So one, you know, I think this Bonnie as a vampire hunter is short. You know, I think this will get cleared up pretty quick. 2, the wedding's not on. I think what we're really looking at the end of the season is getting everybody back to Mystic Falls.
Okay.
You know, everybody's been spread out for a while. We're all coming back to Mystic Falls. That's done jumping around all these different places. And that means, of course, the children of Caroline and Alert coming to Mystic Falls as well. I think we're also looking at, there's a lot of tense relationships in the group. Stefan and Caroline, Alert and Caroline.
Damon and everybody.
Bonnie and Damon and Enzo and everyone wants this Hunter thing snaps in. And I do think the vault is still very much a concern, because yes, Bonnie sealed the building. You know, there's a level of sealing with like Bennett blood that isn't necessarily what happened when she sealed it. And this is an evil entity we've touched on. And I think we can also, you know, expect that to loop in with this shaman point. We have to assume that there's some storyline to this entity of like what it is. And we know it's a woman. Like, you know, we had Silas pretending to be Shane's wife, but we seem to have conclusively been shown this is a young woman's voice. This is a young woman that is like in some way personifying this entity.
That's interesting.
So I think there's, you know, some connection either to Reyna or the shamans or to the St. John family as a whole that this entity can be a concern. And whether that entity gets into Alex and escapes that way or is able to get into like someone else, I think we have to close out the Ermory in some way, because they put a little too much in that. And so I think they need to kind of finish that out in some way. And I think killing off, you know, most of the troops with this entity is one way. So I think we're still going to deal with the Ermory in that, you know, this vault, for all intents and purposes, is open. Even if the building itself is sealed, I don't think that's as strong of a seal as it. I mean, I think it's as strong a seal as Bonnie could do, but I don't think it's like insurmountable.
Sure. That brings us to the end of this week's episode. As always, if you are enjoying The Vampire Diaries and or Doppelgangers, please tell your friends and give us 5 stars, rating and review on Apple and Spotify podcasts.
And follow us on Instagram at Doppelgangers Podcast.
But that's it for this week. Until next week, goodbye, brother.
Goodbye, brother.